Blog Talk Radio
presents the Blog Radio Show.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and I thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight. I appreciate it. You could be doing so many other things, but you're listening to us, and that's fantastic. I love it, love it, love it. We've got another great show for you guys tonight. I can't wait to introduce him, and we're going to have a good time, play some great music. And real quick, before we get started, just want to say thank you again to Michelle Palmieri, who has become our residential psychic. She comes once a month, and I mean, we do everything here. We do music, we do actors, we do everything, and I just want to bring you what you guys want, and I hope she helps some of you folks, and just pay attention for the next time she'll be on, because I know everybody's into it. I love it myself, and I played hooky today. I went to a really cool place. It's called, what the heck is it called? Grounds for Sculptor, and in Hamilton, New Jersey. It was really neat. So I needed that. I'm trying to get back to myself. But even cooler is our guest tonight. He's a repeat offender again, which I love. I love that he keeps coming back for more. I'm only kidding, Chris. But no, I love when the guests come back because we have such a great time. So, I'm choking on nothing there, Chris. So, guys, Chris has been here before. Last time he was here was pretty much around Christmas time, right? Because you had the Christmas album out. So let's welcome to the show, singer, songwriter, musician, Chris James from the Flying Burrito Brothers. How are you, Chris? Thanks so much for coming back.
I'm good, Joanne. Thank you so much for having me. I probably should... right off the bat, besides saying thank you and being very, very appreciative, point out that it's actually just the Burrito Brothers. And
oh,
I'll get into
right.
A little bit of that a little bit later. I don't need to jump into that right now. But, the flying kind of went away some years back.
Right. And then you guys have been keeping it going, right? I'm so sorry.
Yes.
I put Flying Burrito Brothers. Ugh.
Well, it's an easy mistake to make because that's how the group started, and it actually has gone by many names through the years.
Right.
But
right.
It is just a delight to get to be here. It was so nice talking to you before, and I look forward to tonight.
Yeah, you're a triple threat now. You've been here three times.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, but the Christmas album.
And I hope
that's
not the last.
Of course, absolutely not. You come back anytime. My door is always open. You kidding me?
Thank you. Yeah.
So the Christmas album I loved, and it was called Simply Christmas. That's it. Just Christmas. And
yeah.
It's from the Burrito Brothers. And what I loved about it was they weren't necessarily Christmas songs. You could consider them just regular songs that you would listen to at any time. That's what I loved about it.
Yeah, they work both ways, I would say. I
yeah.
think they definitely do work as Christmas songs, but they're not the traditional.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not a collection of familiar
Jingle
Christmas chestnuts.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. No, you know what I meant, that you can listen to it both ways. You know, you listen
In
to
fact,
it for
I
Christmas.
Love it. Yeah, I appreciate that because that's how we went about it. We felt like we were making another Burrito Brothers album and intended it to come off that way, to stand next to any of the others and not be some strange anomaly just for Christmas.
Do you think Graham would have ever considered a Christmas album, or has he done one and I don't know about
good. It? Wow, I don't know. No, he didn't. He didn't live long enough to do that many albums. But
right.
But I don't know how to answer that. I mean, if Graham was alive, that would be about 51 more years of existence than he had. And
right.
You never know what somebody would do over that many. What would he be? Almost roughly 80 years old. And maybe he would have. I don't know.
Right.
It didn't quite seem like something that he would have done back in the day.
Back at that time, right.
Yeah,
well, for those of you who don't know, we're talking about Graham Parsons. Graham Parsons and Chris Hillman from the Byrds were the founding members of the band, the Flying Burrito Brothers. And the Burrito Brothers has just taken off and had so many different lineup changes. And Chris has been there, 15 years now, Chris?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I came in 2009. Yeah. Yeah, it started as the Flying Burrito Brothers with Graham Parsons and Chris Hillman, who had just left the Byrds.
Right.
And essentially, it was something of a spinoff group, even more identified that way when Michael Clark, the Byrds drummer, joined the Flying Burrito Brothers. And so they used to joke for a year or so there that the Flying Burrito Brothers had more Byrds in it than the Byrds had. And they just began this strange, convoluted history of changing personnel over and over and over. It was a regular occurrence. No two albums in a row had the same exact personnel.
Mm.
And they moved their base of operations from L.A. to Nashville in around 1980, around the beginning of the 80s. And that's when the name got shortened to just the Burrito Brothers. And when I was asked in 2010 to trademark the name, I remember looking into possibly calling it the Flying Burrito Brothers. And we were in touch with Chris Hillman, who, of course, is one of the original members. It really was his and Graham Parsons' vision all along in the first place. And, Hillman requested that we not use the word flying in our identification of the group. And that way he felt that it kind of differentiated the two. The working band, us, just went by Burrito Brothers, which really wasn't a problem in any way. It was a desired move on the part of Curve Records in the 80s anyway. And we felt like, you know, there's a change that happened from moving from L.A. to Nashville. And we're pretty fond of just going by the Burrito Brothers. It's shorter and sweeter and starts with B, the great B that the Beatles, the Beach Boys, the band, the Byrds.
Right.
It's wonderful. and to honor Chris Hillman's wishes. And it really, I discovered there's two different trademarks. Trademarks are specific, and his was to own the logo name.
Right.
And he could put out archival releases or T-shirts or whatever with Flying Burrito Brothers. But we were cleared on trademarking the name Burrito Brothers as a working band because Hillman had no interest in doing that.
Right.
So there are two different things, and that's the thumbnail explanation of why I sort of stopped you from saying Flying Burrito. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll edit this not the promo I did, but on our platform it says Flying Burrito.
It doesn't bother
but you know
me.
What? They're
it's
synonymous.
All the same.
Right, they're synonymous with each other. If I said
Flying
Burrito Brothers, people knew I meant Burrito Brothers. If I said Burrito Brothers, they knew I meant Flying Burrito Brothers. I mean, they're all one
so
and the same.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And the latter is even more true. I can remember way back when I was an early fan of the group when they just started. And in reference to the Flying Burrito Brothers, they often just called them the Burrito Bros or even just the Burritos.
Right.
That became just a shortened way to say it. And if you look up the Flying Burrito Brothers on Wikipedia, It's every one of these groups with the subtle name changes and then changed back. It was flying till about 1980, and then it was just the Burrito Brothers for all of the 80s. It went back and forth a little in the 90s, and then in the first decade of this millennium, it was called Burrito Deluxe. And I think they were catering to the notion that some people had issues with later day rendition lineups of the group, since they didn't have Graham Parsons or Chris Hillman in it. But really, we've never had an issue with that, because that precedent was set long, long ago. The first time there was a version of the group that didn't have any original members was 1972.
Wow.
So it just is an ever-changing but always moving forward lineup.
Right.
And so all those names are regarded as just the different years, the moniker that the group went by, but it's all under the same heading there on Wikipedia. It essentially is.
Well, I'm glad you landed in the flying or the Burrito Brothers, because you definitely have enhanced the group. I mean, each musician, that every lineup, it just gets better. Each album gets better and better because of all the different players that come in.
Wow, thank you. I feel that there is something special about this bizarre chemistry of an ever-changing personnel, because it keeps it fresh. Every time there's a new nucleus, that lineup has a hunger and a desire to show what they've got, to prove they're up to the challenge. And there's no laurels really to rest upon. It's not like you can just start going by the name Burrito Brothers and go out and play mega concerts with a ton of hits. It never was that. It was always a little under the radar, and a cool legacy to carry on. That's the reason we do it. It's for love of that legacy and what came before, and keeping it alive.
Well, that's why I love what you're doing, because you are keeping the band alive, and I'm sure Graham would be thrilled that after all these years, it's still a focal point of the Burrito Brothers. It's just, you know, you're putting albums out every other year, it seems like, lately.
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah. But if not every year, at least a couple in the course of three years, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. I believe that what you said, that Graham would probably appreciate it, because he said so himself when addressed about the idea that Rick Roberts was leading a group of Flying Burrito Brothers over to Europe for a series of shows, and was asked what he thought about it, even though there weren't any original members. And he said he loved it. The idea has to keep going, whether I do it or anybody else. It's got to keep going.
Right.
So he expressed that was his wish, and it's kind of different for me now, being older, shall we say, having done this now for 15 years as a full-time member, and been loosely involved before that. I start to realize that I'm no new guy anymore, and it needs to keep going whether I'm in it or anyone else. I agree. You know, I sure hope it doesn't end with me.
Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but the last time we spoke, did you say that your brother was in the band first, or am I thinking of somebody else?
Not first, but he was in the band.
Before you.
Right. I knew you meant that, but it wasn't actually before me. It was almost the same time. I was in just barely prior to him. And they were asking me at SPV Records, who signed us over in England, they asked for us to reconstitute the Burrito Brothers, since they'd learned that the Burrito Deluxe lineup had come to an end, had called quits. And they said, well, that never stopped the group from going on before. You know, who's
That's
the most
right.
viable people to carry on? We want a new Burrito Brothers record. We want you to acquire trademark, and we want you to tell us who you've got in mind to be in the group. And and they liked it was Walter Egan and me and Rick Lano and Michael Curtis. Mm. And then Curtis sort of came and went so fast that it was blink your eye and he's gone, because he had a child, a daughter in high school, and he thought he wanted to spend more time with her, which is kind of ironic now because we weren't working that much. It wasn't like it would have taken him away from home. But anyway, when he bailed out, and as an aside, he's actually played with us many times over the years as a substitute or a sit-in. But anyway, that's when we suggested that my brother Fred join, and label people recognized his name and said, good, good, now you got a group, you know?
There you
and
go.
It was all but Fred were people who had worked with the Burrito Deluxe lineup. Me only as a sit-in here and there. Walter and Rick were both actual full-time members of the prior incarnation, which is basically how every one of the changes always worked. About half the guys from before get a couple new guys and keep on going.
Now, the new album is called Together, and are the same folks playing on that played on the Christmas album? And did Bob get to play on any of this new album, Bob Hatter?
Yes. Hatter died during the making of this album.
Yeah, he passed away, right?
Yes, he got cancer and lost his battle. And he had been with us on the prior album, Notorious Burrito Brothers, and also the Still Going Strong album. And as he was losing his battle, we got Steve Allen to come in and do the work. It was an album that was already realized. We had all the demos and knew what songs we planned to do, but the pandemic was an issue because while we hoped Bob could possibly beat the cancer that he got, he was just extremely hesitant, understandably so, about ever leaving his house when there's a pandemic.
Of course.
You know, we asked Steve to play the songs that we already had lined up for the album, and Steve so graciously said he would like to get Bob Hatter's blessing before doing it. He wanted to know that it was okay with Bob, that Bob wanted this done, which is very cool. And and Bob did want that. And so Steve essentially just about played all the guitar on the finished album, even though it's the very same album we would have made had Bob lived. And And then that carries over to the Christmas album. And we were most of the way, if not all the way done with Together prior to completing the Christmas album, but they overlap a little. And Together was slow on getting released due to all these issues. And I had just gotten all fired up last year about recording a Christmas album as a neat idea that the Burrito Brothers had never done in 50-plus years. And, so I begged the record company, our record company, SFM in England, to just put a hold on Together, and we'd act as if we treat it as the new album once Christmas is over, that we didn't want to wait a whole year sitting on the Christmas album. We wanted to... We were excited about it. We just done it. We wanted to put it out last year. And since, so they almost fall in, they sort of overlap. And the plan was what we're doing now, to treat Together as a new release 2024 comes around, because, you know, we didn't want to just forget about it. We did a lot of good work on it.
Yeah,
and it's plenty new, and I don't think hardly anybody out there in the world even knew of it, because it just got done when we decided, wait a minute, let's put it on hold and do the Christmas stuff. They overlapped, and that means that's the closest, I think, in the history of the Burrito Brothers, of two albums in a row having the same personnel But
that's true.
But actually, it doesn't exactly, because Bob Hatter's on Together. He's not on the Christmas album. So the Christmas album has Steve Allen as listed as the band member. The Together album, as a tribute and a dedication, has Bob Hatter listed as.
Wow. Well, I have to listen. I don't usually compliment myself, but for someone who's losing their mind, I can't remember. I can't believe that I remembered all that from our last conversation. Because I said, especially your brother being in the band, I'm like, how did I remember that?
Well, you know, there's something neat about that. That's the only actual real sibling brothers who have ever been in the Burrito Brothers.
Yes, I remember you saying that, too.
Actually, the closest comparison, there is a father and son. Gib Gilbo and his son, Ronnie Gilbo, were both in the Flying Burrito Brothers in the 80s or early 90s.
Pretty cool. Yeah. How do you like that?
Yeah.
So now is Peter Young in here, and Tony, and who, and Steve on the new album too?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Tony Paoletta, the world's greatest pedal steel player, as far as I'm concerned, he just world class, magnificent talent on pedal steel. So broad in his scope, his concept of music goes far beyond most people's, and you know, it's pedal steel guitar is generally thought of as a traditional country music instrument, and not necessarily for Tony, although he's so adept that he could certainly do that as well as all the other windows he knows how to look out of. Plus, he's a multi-instrumentalist. He's just major talent.
Multi-talented, yeah.
Yeah, and Peter Young is too. He's just a brilliant drummer and fine singer. He sings Streets of Santa Rosa, and he sings, he's probably more than anybody else in the band, the principal harmony singer. So, and then you got Steve Allen, who the same went for Bob Hatter. Amazing that they had just almost the same skill set. Just brilliant guitar players who, in order for us to just not have to worry about too many chefs, too many cooks spoiling the brew.
Yeah.
We just had the guitar player played the bass. It was guitar and bass done by Steve Allen. And Bob had done the same before. It's really nice. We really like this, just the four of us, because it's so concise and we're all in such agreement and on the same page, as they say.
Right. Excellent. Well, why don't we play one of the songs from the new album called, the album is titled Together, and I want to play Miss Misery. I like that one.
Cool. All right.
I like them all, but anyway, this is, folks, this is Miss Misery from the Burrito Brothers from their new album Together. Check this one out. You're going to like it. I listen, I never play crap on here. They're going to like everything I play, whether they like it or not. I'm only kidding. All right, Ms. Misery from the Burrito Brothers. Check it out.
She's a heavy hurt maker, gonna bring you down. She's a happy heartbreaker, I'm her latest.
Yeah, thank Miss Misery. Right. Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah,
it's very catchy.
Oh, I hope so. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. That's why we put it first on the album. It seemed like one of those kickoff kind of songs.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something special about it. The original demo, when Bob Hatter and I wrote it, was pretty well recorded. And so in order to include Bob on the album, after all the difficulties that I outlined a little while ago,
yeah,
we isolated his lead guitar work. The main guitar on that track we just heard was from the demo, so that we had Bob. And then we,
oh,
we
wow.
played along. We made the whole, the rest of the track is newly recorded alongside Bob's part.
Yeah. Built around him. Wow, how cool
is
that?
Yeah, and then there's two other songs on the album that he's actually on, because we really were into finding ways to include him. I Find Love was from an album that Tony Paoletta and he made. They humorously called it Screaming Bald Ego. And this was back in, oh, probably 15 years ago or so, a nicely recorded album. And Peter Young's the drummer, Bob Hatter's the guitar player and singer, and Tony's the pedal steel guitar player. So I added for our version some keyboard and more vocals.
Yeah.
And that way we had a song that Bob Hatter sings lead on.
Was that Bob?
And then there was,
that was, no, that's Big
on,
Ball.
On I
Ball
Find
Ego.
Love. That,
oh, I Find Love, sorry.
Yeah, and I Find Love, which we rated Screaming Bald Ego, because it's us anyway. I mean, it was
right.
Tony, Bob, and Pete. And so we took that recording and tidied it up and fixed it up a little more and included it. And then we also had a song that we had recorded in a good studio where I sang lead. They had asked me to sing it. It was a song Tony and Bob and Pete had put together called Blood on His Hands. And then I asked, oh, and I also played keyboards on it and some background vocals. I asked Tony if he would consider singing lead on it, because I thought, I didn't think there was anything about my vocal that was so darn special that it just had to stay there. It's a pretty straight ahead country song, and Tony can sing that. And luckily, even though he's kind of a little shy about it or hesitant, doesn't generally regard himself as a lead singer, we got him to do it. So Blood on His Hands is sung by Tony Paoletta, and it has Bob Hatter on it.
Wow, I wish I would have picked one of those. I didn't pick one of those.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I didn't know.
Well,
I aimed you at
the ones that seem to be sort of the key tracks, if there's such thing.
Well, I'm going to listen to them after the show for sure.
And I hope other people do too.
Yes, absolutely. Who's singing on this one, Ms. Misery? Who's that? Who's the lead vocal?
Oh, that's me.
That is you.
That's me. I'm generally the lead singer of the band. Mm-hmm. There's just a one song by each of the other guys.
Yeah.
Pete's lead vocal is Streets of Santa Rosa. So there's one by each of the other guys, and the rest are me.
Right, right. And guys, tell them where they could get the album, Chris. Obviously, everywhere online.
Yeah, basically, it's distributed around the world by our label in England, SFM Records. You can get it on Amazon, or if you want downloads, you just go to wherever the usual places you get downloads. It's nicely out there. I'm very, very thankful, appreciative the label has got us out in the world. Actually, thinking along those lines, I should mention, if you go to our website, which is theburritobrothers.net, we've got a neat little limited edition collectible version of the album that has a second disc, which is like so many of, you know, it's a format that's pretty widespread by now, where groups make the deluxe version of an album where they dig up curiosities, demos, outtakes, live things. It's so there's a disc 2 on the Together Deluxe version, which isn't available in all the places. It's just on our website. And I like to tell people that doesn't mean it's a double album. It's a single album. The second disc is just a little bit of a peek behind the scenes of what goes into
the fun behind it.
A little bonus. Nice.
And so now with the new album out, are we going out to play? What's going on? You guys hitting the road soon? Or are you just doing local things over in Tennessee there?
I hope so. Right now it's kind of local and putting out feelers in hopes of going overseas because our label, as I mentioned, is in England. And there's a real history of people in Europe being real warm and receptive to the Burrito Brothers. And that sounds pretty
exciting. Of course,
that's
why they signed you. That's why they signed you.
Yeah, that sounds exciting to us and neat, like a cool gig / vacation almost, you know. And the idea of hitting the road in the States is less attractive to us being an older band who's not like mega stars, you know. We're not mega famous, so we wouldn't be commanding a whole lot of money. And we've got people who everybody in the band is so well established here in town, they're not going to just leave all their studio contacts and everything they can do in Music City to go climb in a van and traipse around. So what we always are looking for is the shorter term or even one night at a time type nice thing, you know, like to be on a festival somewhere or to, I tell you what would get us out on the road is if we could hook up with some band who is real, real famous and liked us enough to have us be the opening act.
Right.
You know, the mega dream I have is the Rolling Stones, but that's probably a slim chance, you know, but one can dream. You know.
No, well, it's not a slim chance. They know the Burrito Brothers, I'm sure.
Well, I don't think they do. I mean, I think that you know, Keith Richards famously loved Graham Parsons and all that, but I really wouldn't be surprised if they didn't realize the group for all these years is actually still going. I'm not sure.
Well,
my gut tells me if he heard what we sound like now, he'd like it. I don't know if that's presumptuous, but I think my heart tells me that. And I'm thinking that we just aren't on their radar. If somehow we could get, it might be a sweet, sweet thing that could change our fortunes.
Well, Chris, label, London, Stones, London.
I know.
What are you waiting for?
I thought that from the get-go. Yeah. I'm not sure who knows how to get to them. They're a little difficult to penetrate the fortress, you know.
Well, of course, but, you know, I mean, your label must have some contacts or connections.
I sort of feel like the more I talk about it to different people, maybe that can't hurt, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Mick, if you're listening.
Well, it's really more, hey, Keith, because he loved Graham, you know.
Hey, Keith, Chris James is here, and he would love to open up for you guys. So,
and you'd like us.
The Burrito Brothers. He would love it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, my God. Oh, geez. So now, let's see. Which one should we play next? I want to play another one. I don't want to keep you too long tonight because I know you're busy.
Well, I'll give you a suggestion.
I wish I had the other ones, but go ahead.
Do you have I Live for Loving You?
Yes, I do. That one I have. Let's play that. And tell me what's behind this one. Tell me, is there a story behind this one? And was there a story behind Ms. Misery?
Well, sort of. It was just kind of wanting to sound sort of that attitude-filled, almost a hint of country punkish vibe, kind of thinking along the lines of Roger McGuinn, Tom Petty type thing, and and just kind of telling the story of getting, not getting the girl you wanted.
right. And I love
and lashing out horribly about how horrible she is, which I now, I think, I have mixed feelings about. I've been asked, is there a person in particular who that was about? And it's like, well, yeah, I suppose there was back then, but I'm not going to name any names or things.
No, that's too funny. But, like, but the, I love that. You didn't say Miss Misery. You said Ms. Misery, which I
Yeah, the demo actually was Miss, and we rethought that. But the thing is, when people ask about do I have a favorite song, I never before on any of the other albums really could quite land on one being my favorite. But I think in this case, I do have a favorite song on the album, and it's I Live for Loving You, because it's been in the back of my mind, being a songwriter for so many years, how sweet it would be to ever get a standard, a genre-defying, beautiful song that people could, that any really fine singer could sink their teeth into. You know, maybe it could be in a movie or something. Once again, I'm dreaming, but why not? And I felt like this is the closest I've ever come to that. It's just a sweet, sweet melodic love song that's well executed. And I have those kind of wishes and dreams for it.
Nice. And who's lead on that? That's you, vocals?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Let's do it. Let's everybody hear with a song. This is I Live for Loving You from the new Burrito Brothers album, Together. Oh, listen.
From this day on, I'll never be without you. I promise to prove my love in everything I do. From this moment on, you are the only one. You're who I run to today. I live for loving you. There is no life without shine.
Yeah. was great, Chris. That was great.
Thank you. Nice, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, that could be a wedding song, man. That could be the new wedding song. Of the,
yeah,
wow.
That was definitely part of the thought behind it. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And that, oh my God, Tony did an amazing job in that. Oh, as soon as it kicked in the intro, I was like, oh man, listen to that.
Yeah, he always does. He's just delightfully capable. He's really good.
Oh God, yeah, it was great. Yeah, great song. It's so nice. I definitely see it as a wedding song for sure.
Well, that would sure be sweet. I kind of got the hopes and wishes and dreams tacked onto it. It's out there by being on this album. And I always like to say that I count my blessings. I'm very appreciative of what I've got. You could do a lot worse than where we're at right now.
Exactly.
Getting this outlet for artistry and making this music with great world-class musician. So anything bigger that happens is just gravy.
Right.
It's
the icing on the cake.
Just satisfied.
right. You're happy with what you got. And you know what?
Yeah.
That's what the Burrito Brothers were always all about. They wasn't searching for fame. It was just putting out great music, you know?
Yeah.
You weren't always
chasing
the star. You were just putting out great music with great musicians and just... I mean, this new album sounds great. I hate to say great again, but it really sounds
thank
good.
You.
It sounds
well, the,
good.
The idea of seeking fame, it's interesting. I just had a thought as you said that it can be so overwhelming to a lot of people. You know, it sort of traditionally has made a lot of young people who got too much too fast kind of made them into jerks and stuff, or weirdly self-absorbed and all that. There's a real downside to it, but the upside
or
that
they're
we
not
do,
here with us anymore, or they're not here with us anymore.
This, but the side of it that I do desire and wish we had more of was just recognition of the music we're making. I think it's worthy of being noticed
Absolutely.
By more people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I agree. Hey, did you ever put any thought into writing that song about Graham's final wishes? I think that'd be a great song.
That's an interesting thought. What? Remind me, what did we have a handle on what those wishes were?
When that he supposedly wanted to go in when he died,
keep going
what his manager did with him.
Oh, exactly. Oh, God, yeah. Boy,
I think that'd be a great song.
But it'd be hard. I'm not sure how to go about it. How would you do it without it sounding like some sort of forced story? I'd have to put some thought in. I always thought, to tell you the truth, that was just kind of weird.
I know.
What in the world? You stole a coffin and you raced out to the desert and lit it on fire.
Right.
But you didn't really succeed in the full cremation. The remains still were sent on to New Orleans. And,
right.
It's a very strange story that in some ways I think gets way too much attention.
Yeah.
But I guess, I don't know, it helps Graham's memory get out there. So since it's such a bizarre ending, his widow, Gretchen, saying she thought it was sick and weird. Who does that?
Exactly. That's what the song could be about. Like, was that really what he wanted? You know?
Yeah, it's like, what in the world?
Yeah. Graham was a man, never asked for much. But one day, I don't know.
But they did. They did say it stems from Clarence White's funeral where Graham started singing Farther Along, and I think a lot of the people there were musicians and music types who joined in.
Yeah.
And at some point, he was saying to that manager, the road manager guy, the mangler, Phil Kaufman, I don't want to go out. Clarence, I guess, was at a Catholic funeral. And at the burial site, he's whispering or saying to his buddy, I don't want to go out this way. Whichever one of us dies first, the other one takes his body out to Joshua Tree and burns it. And I thought, well, I guess maybe they have evidence that there was that wish expressed.
Right, but I don't think it was actually a wish. You know, it was just like, I don't want
It sounds sort of like some funny... yeah.
Like they were just screwing around, you know? He was screwing around when he said it, and the guy actually did it. You know? Oh, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Like she said, who does that? Who does that?
Oh, my God.
Well, the weird thing is the guy's almost made a... He's almost made a career out of... being the guy who did that, you know,
exactly.
It seems like it comes up all the time. He's interviewed over it and stuff. What a strange, you know, rest of your days to have be the focal point.
Well, who knows what was it? Well, when was it? The '60s? No, seventies. When was it?
No, 1973.
Well, who knows what was floating around in that funeral home,
A lot.
Exactly.
Well,
so.
You know, it's really sad from reading the every biography I've ever gotten my hands on about Graham Parsons, because I hold him in such high regard and just think he was wonderful. That also you can tell he was really a substance abuser. He was not good about that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. God knows what was being passed around and, you know,
it caught up with him.
He said the wrong thing to the wrong person. Anyway, I don't want to harp on that either. I just think the story makes it a great song where like, what the hell, you know? Like, is that what he really wanted? No, I don't think so.
Wow, that's right. There's a line or a title, both those lines, what were they thinking?
Right.
Or is that what he wanted?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway. Well, I'm loving this new album, and oh, my goodness. You're probably already working on new stuff, too.
We've just begun. Actually, we sort of, like always, have exchanged thoughts on where we think we want to go next. And and actually, it's starting for just today. I was setting up a writing session with Tony and Steve of actually coming up with the first steps of beginning it. And we once again already know the title. We like these ideas of a title that somehow has a little more meaning than just something slapped out or just picking one of the song titles. And we've got this on our albums, on our CD, we've got this shack that's essentially the one that's on the cover of The Gilded Palace of Sin. And it's, I tend to call it The Gilded Palace. It's that shack that was out there in the desert, and we've made it look psychedelic on the Still Going Strong album. We had each of our faces in one window each on the Notorious Burrito Brothers album. It's gone all the way into becoming a landing module on this album, on the Together album.
Right.
And we're thinking that our next album is going to be called Time Machine, because the burritos are a time machine. You know, we're crossing over. The legacy goes all the way back to 68, if not farther. And we like that idea, and we're pursuing the idea of getting some of the key still alive alumni from the past to sit in a little bit. To sort of underscore that concept that we're crossing time, you know, with where we're going. So that's already starting to be formulated. I'm sure we'll be working on it throughout the rest of the year. I really doubt, knowing from past experience, that we would have it completely finished and released before this year's out.
No, of course.
It's probably going to be a 2025.
Right. In the year 2025. Can you believe that song is coming true right before our eyes? Crazy. But it's not 2025. It's 2525. But anyway.
Yeah, it was 25. I have some vague memory of those guys. Zager and Evans were from Kansas City. I might be wrong. I'm not sure.
I had one of them on the show a while back. Oh, man. I can't remember who it was. I don't know which one it was. Well, I don't think they're both alive, so I don't remember. But they were all, I had someone from the band on, and I just imagine. I don't think I'll see. I don't doubt we'll see 25-25. But
no.
Anyway, I'm getting a feeling that song may be resurrected in 2025. That somebody may do something with that. You know.
And it'd be an easy lyric change if somebody wanted to do it. They could just sing 2025.
Yep. Man.
And for anyone older, it is pretty mind-blowing how much stranger the world looks now than it did when we were young.
Yeah, and you know
what's
so funny?
But I guess it's always been strange.
It's funny, Chris, because I was actually thinking today that the news was on. I was seeing all these protesters, this, that, and everything. I said, my God, it's the 60s all over again, but worse, you know? It's like magnified.
Yeah.
It's magnified.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's
hard.
Oh,
it's the 60s on steroids. That's what it is.
Unfortunately, it's not the 60s Renaissance musical era that was.
No.
Boy,
no.
That was just incredible. Thank you, Beatles, for leading the way. Golly.
Yeah. Exactly. And you don't know how many times I've said that what got people through those times was music. So I think we need to somehow, someone who's running the record companies, do something musically to calm the savage beasts, please. You know?
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
We need that music. We need the music to guide us, you know? And it's not happening. It's not happening. But...
No, they're stuck in the patterns that they see making profit for them. So
exactly,
it's a stretch.
Whatever's making the money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Exactly. Anyway, well, Chris,
Go ahead.
No.
I thought you had to go. Oh no.
Okay. Go ahead.
I've thought, and it's wishful, I guess, that it's possible that if the record companies, the biggest ones with the most clout and influence, actually just decided to promote and push with the same kind of backing and promotion that they do for the fluffy pop stars,
mm-hmm.
Some really good music, it seems to me that it would still go because people innately want music. I don't really buy that what they're making profit is the only thing they could make profit on. I think what happened was somewhere along the way, they got greater control where they could maximize the profit margin. I've often thought someone like Miles Davis couldn't possibly get out there today because he's too much of a opinionated, headstrong person, and they don't want somebody making waves.
Right.
But real
right.
artists do a little of that.
Right. Right. Well, I lost my train. It's coming back. They've kind of put us to the wayside and are just selling to the kids, you know, that they got their demographic of what ages they want the music to hit, of how they want it to affect them. It affects clothes. It affects everything, you know? So it's all a package.
I'd say our target audience obviously is an older group of people. It's people who remember that kind of music and those kind of the legacy that we wish to carry forward and the love of albums as a complete work, a cohesive piece. The young people of today didn't have that frame of reference, and they just kind of get individual songs from downloads, and they don't have a beautiful artistic album cover to look at. It doesn't enter their consciousness because it's not the world as they've known it.
Right.
Our audience obviously must be slightly older, except that it'd be cool if somehow the concept of how wonderful a really well-conceived album can be, a whole experience of listening experience,
mm-hmm.
that shouldn't have an age limit. It should be possible for I've seen younger people who are musically inclined love that, but that's a small minority of the overall market, you know.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. They've pushed us aside where they could be doing the same thing with us, with great music that we like, and package it the same way, like you said, you know. And the Burrito Brothers, if they would put this out and had more music like this out, it would start a whole new, I don't want to say genre, because it's not. It's music that's been around forever. It's just not getting the airplay or the prominence that it should be getting, you know, like it used
right.
to.
Yeah.
You know, which is ridiculous, which is ridiculous. But anyway, but
oh,
Chris,
well.
Listen, yeah, what are you going to do, right? So
yeah.
I want to say thank you so much for coming back. The album is fantastic, and I'm going to close with Together when I sign off. And folks, go get the album. It's everywhere online. Go to the website, theburritobrothers.net, and you get the deluxe album, which is not two albums. It's one album, and the other disc is outtakes of just the fun of making the album and behind the scenes. So.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So,
and check out the timeline there on the website. The timeline is a guess. It's got an entry for every year since 1968, and they're all brief so that it's not a tedious thing, but you get to follow this wild, amazing path of an ever-changing group. But you can see how from one year to the next, it never changed that much. It just, in the long run, results in massive changes.
Yep, and just the musicians were basically changing, and each album just got better and better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, Chris, listen, thank you again, and I appreciate you coming back on. And please, please, please reach out, and I'd love to have you back on if any of the guys want to come on too. And, oh, my God, if you're ever doing a live, if you guys are doing a rehearsal or something, we could do an interview from one of your rehearsals.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you
That'd
for that
cool.
Invite. Yeah. All right.
That'd be really good. I'd love
that.
Yeah.
So would we.
Do that.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. That sounds like a plan. That just came to me.
Cool. Yeah.
Listen, I'm losing my mind. So, like I said, I'm surprised I'm even with you tonight. I had to take a day off today, a mental health break day, so much so that I had to go somewhere where it was peaceful and quiet and just have nothing around me, no stress, nothing.
Oh,
I just
good.
Needed...
Yeah, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
That's good for the
soul.
Yeah.
It was a long ride, but, you know, we got there, and it was very serene, and I needed that. I needed that. So, but anyway.
That sounds like a lyric there.
Yes, I know, right? Well, everything we say is a lyric, right? Every word
yes.
we say is a song. It's crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
But... Well, Chris, thank you so much. Everybody, Chris James from the Burrito Brothers. Go check out the new album, Together. We just played two songs. I'm going to close with the title cut, Together. And we're going to just have Chris come back anytime he wants, because I love hanging out with you.
Thank you. Same here. The feeling's mutual, Joanne. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, and all the best to your family, your wife, and everything goes well, and stay in good health, you guys, and a shout-out to the rest of the guys in the band, too. I love it, love it, love it. So
yes, on with the show. Good health to you.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, thank you so much. Chris James, everybody. Thank you, Chris.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, folks, the album is Together is the name of the album, and we played two songs tonight, Ms. Misery and I Live for Loving You, which sounds like a country wedding song to me. So and when we close out, we're going to play Together, which is the title cut. But again, what do we do? Thanks to Michelle Palmieri last night, and I think we've got All In coming up this week, our guys from Harrison. Can't wait to have them back on, Harrison, New Jersey. And they got a new song, too. And we are gearing up to bring you some great guests for May. And I promise we'll get you everybody we can. So let's play. Is that? No. No way. There's 27 minutes left tonight. I thought it was 27 seconds. Well, anyway, I know it's late, and, you know, Chris is taking care of business over there down in Tennessee, so I didn't want to keep him. I thought that said 27 seconds. Anyway, so just to kill a little time, let me tell you about this place today. I played hooky, like I said. I took a day off. I needed to just gather, and I found this place called Grounds for Sculpture in Hamilton, New Jersey. And it is just, if you're really looking to just like escape, I mean, it's so quiet and so clean. Oh my God. And the sculpting, the artwork there, I think it's like over 700 artists have, I did notice when I looked at the website that there was pieces on the website that I did not see, if you want to call it an exhibit, at the location exhibit. And I'm wondering if they change out the art every once in a while. So walking around, and these things are huge, huge, and they're made of bronze. I mean, amazing, amazing artwork. So some of them are like 100 feet high. I mean, they're huge, huge. And on the way out was so weird. I saw the sculpting of, they call it Double Check. If you're from New York and you know downtown area, in Liberty Park there was, they were metal benches. I don't want to say the benches were bronze, but they were metal. They were either hot or cold, depending on the weather. But anyway, I would walk through that park every morning and every night going home to catch the train in the Trade Center. And the guy would always scare the hell out of me. It was a statue of a gentleman in a business suit, and he's got his briefcase open, and he's basically rummaging through the briefcase. I guess, hence Double Check. He's checking through his briefcase to see if he's got everything. So that's why I believe it's called Double Check. I know it's called Double Check, but that makes sense why they would call it that. So it would always scare me because I'd be looking down or have my music on or whatever, and then when all of a sudden you pop, because it looks so real. And so we're leaving the grounds for sculpture, there is this sculpture sitting there. It's indoors, and it's this statue, and I was like, holy shit. And the difference is they have it sitting in debris from 9/11. So the statue is covered in dust. It's all papers and debris from that day, from when the buildings collapsed. And they said that's how they found it after the buildings collapsed. So the artist, Seward Johnson, if I'm saying his first name correctly, he was the artist of the original in Liberty Park. I think it's called Liberty Plaza now. I don't know. I haven't been there in so long. And he redid it for this location in Hamilton, New Jersey, the Grounds for Sculpture. And I was just taken aback. So anyway, this quiet day, this serene day, made me open my eyes and say, yep, you're here, and thank God, and what a beautiful moment, and you had a beautiful day. So it was a little surreal for me, okay? So, and another amazing thing was that the background that they have, it looks like my building that I worked in. So I just amazing that I was, like, taken aback by the whole thing, and it just gave me just perception of take advantage of every moment you have, and you need that time to just take care of you and breathe and realize what you have in your life, be it good or bad, you have it, and you woke up, and whether you're in pain, you know you're alive, and so it's not a bad thing. So yeah, that was cool. And oh, I know what I didn't mention to you guys. I meant to mention it last night when Michelle was on, but we ran way over last night. These phones were lit up. And on the 14th, I caught a great show at Bergen Pack. And I don't know if you've ever been to the Bergen Pack or NJ Pack. I mean, the Bergen Pack's in Englewood, New Jersey, and NJ Pack is in Newark. I love these venues because they're so intimate. The sound quality is phenomenal too, and it's there's not a bad seat in the house. It's like a Broadway play theater. It throws off that vibe, you know, Broadway theater. So, but more updated, obviously, and I just love both of those places for shows, and they've got some great stuff coming up. You should check their website. So I'm going to see if I can get us some tickets to give away for some things that they got going on. We've been a little out of the loop lately. As you guys know, we were off the air for a little bit. We did a little hiatus trying to do a few shows here and there. But, yeah, so we're getting back into the groove. And I caught Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. and Darlene Love. I am so glad that I got to see them. I've never seen them live. And it was just... The vocals were, Darlene Love is just fantastic, unbelievable. And these folks, they're octogenarians, okay? And you don't even realize that when you're watching them. It's just like, it's just great music, great talent, great performance. And I needed that too. So that was great. So anyway, I just sharing since we have some time. And I didn't even realize, I thought that said 20-something seconds. It's 20 minutes. I told you I'm losing my mind. I told you. That's why I said I need it today. I need it Saturday. Saturday it was a me day too, but a little stressful. But, you know, but I'm not one to do running around all in one day. I take my time. You know? So, yeah, the place in Hamilton, it's really nice. It was a long ride for me, but... it was worth the ride. It was worth the ride. So, all right. So thank you again to Chris James from the Burrito Brothers. Their new album is Together. We heard Ms. Misery and I Live for Loving You. And there's some other great songs on there, obviously. And we're going to close out with Together, which is the title cut, the title track. And, join us, I believe, I don't have my calendar in front of me, which I'm never prepared for, sorry. But All In, I think, is joining us this week on the 27th, I think. I got to confirm that. I'll confirm that tonight. So, yeah, they've got the great group of kids, and they've got some great music out. And I know their mom. And they're from where I grew up, and I love these guys. They're very talented. So, anyway, they're either on this week or next week. I think it's this week. I will confirm that. So, take it easy. Go to www.burritobrothers.net, and you can find the new album. And, again, like Chris said, the history of the band, of all the years and different players that have been in there, and... You could get not just the album, but you could get Together is just the album, or you get Together Deluxe, I think he said he called it Deluxe, and that comes with a disc that is like outtakes of behind the scenes, so that's pretty cool. I never had that in an album. That's pretty cool. Call it the bloopers, baby, you know, but probably not, you know, just them jamming, trying to get down and all that, and that's what I'm imagining it is. So this is the title track from the new album Together by the Burrito Brothers. It is called Together. Have a great night, and we will see you soon. What's today? Monday. Yeah. All right. We will see you soon. Have a great night. Thank you. Chris James from the Burrito Brothers. Thanks so much, Chris. Take care, everybody. Have a good night. This is Together from the Burrito Brothers. From the album Together.
need the way you touch.
Blow. They are so sure they know.